The title of my message today is How to Study the Bible. This study is a simple outline for those who may be wishing to read the Bible for the first time. It may be you have just become a Christian and want to know God better. Let me first explain in simple terms how the Bible is made up. The Bible comprises of 66 books divided between the Old Testament, which has 39 books, and the New Testament, which has 27 books. The Old Testament tells us how the universe was formed, how mankind was created, and how the Jewish nation came into being. In the New Testament is about Jesus coming into the world and the establishment of the church. But more important, the New Testament tells us how God came alongside mankind by Jesus being born, growing up, showing and helping by example how to live, ultimately dying and rising again in order to make a pathway for mankind to reconnect with God. We can read the Bible as a historical book or as a list of biographies. But the Bible is primarily written by men under the influence of the Holy Spirit to teach and inspire mankind, to create a link with God, to understand who He is, and to reconnect a relationship with Him. If you are unfamiliar with the Bible, it is very wise as to which part of the Bible you should read first, to give you a basis of the message God wants to convey to man, and also the purpose He has for mankind. In the first book of Genesis in the Old Testament, we read how the world and how man was created. Then we read how the nation of Israel was formed, following its lineage by them living in Canaan, which we now know as Israel. For a short while before settling in Canaan, the Israelites spent 40 years living in the Sinai wilderness. God wanted to have a relationship with Israel, asking Moses to build a tent of meetings, giving Moses a large list of do's and don'ts, part of which includes the Ten Commandments. But God wanted to deal with the aftermath of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Before Adam and Eve fell into sin, they had open and free access to God with simple communication. But because they had sinned, God immediately cut His communication with them. He is a sinless God and cannot look on sin. So since Adam and Eve fell into sin, all mankind are cut off from God. As soon as Adam and Eve disobeyed God, that open communication was broken. As we will discover in reading the New Testament, the main purpose for Jesus coming into the world was to reconnect that communication. But it was at great cost to Jesus. He had to die. Why? We read in Genesis 2 verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" This means physical death and spiritual death, which meant being separated from God, spending eternity in hell. You may be asking which version of the Bible to read, because there are a number of versions to the Bible. Our parents were only familiar with the old King James Version, but in the last century many new translations have come out. We do need to obtain a version in modern English, a version which is best suited to your ease of understanding. My recommendation has a two-pronged approach. First, by taking the Bible as one book, it is good to read it through to get an overview of it, to see the historical view, to understand back and get the overall theme of the Bible. For this, I recommend the Good News Bible or the New Living Bible. Many Christians now read the New International Version, which we commonly term the NIV. this version has been translated as close as possible to the original text of when the books of the Bible were first written, giving a more concise account. Suitable for us to pursue a more in-depth study of the Bible, but still a Bible that is very easily readable. Basically, the Bible is to reconnect man to God, to point the way to him, showing the purpose for Jesus coming into the world. Because of mankind's sin, his ultimate future is physical and spiritual death. Jesus came to remedy that by experiencing death for himself. Then by rising from the dead to life again, he proved he had power over death. This gave everyone living on the earth the opportunity to believe in what Jesus had done to receive eternal life. But there is a difference between head belief and heart belief. In Romans 10:9 we read, "If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will experience new birth." For the new Christian, the question may be asked, how much of the Bible to read and how often? When you first become a Christian, you may find you will have a thirst for the reading of the Bible and unable to put it down, which is admirable. The important thing is to read the Bible regularly, say a chapter each day. It is important to ask God through his Holy Spirit to speak to you through the Bible and to understand the relevance of it for yourself. I strongly recommend you reading alongside booklets giving daily readings that you can obtain, giving you a little wisdom about the Bible that learned scholars have put together to help you each day to understand the Bible better. There are two free booklets I call to mind, that is Word for Today, written by UCB, or Our Daily Bread, written by Truth for Life. Each come out periodically during the year. You can either obtain them by post, or in our day of modern technology, the different version of the Bible and the set of daily notes can be obtained through the internet, with a note sent to you each day on your phone. Word for Today can be obtained by going to www.ucb.co.uk, and Our Daily Bread can be obtained by going to www.truthforlife.org. These all, of course, are in lower case. I strongly recommend you begin reading in the New Testament, first starting with John's Gospel. Take a look at the index at the front of your Bible. There you will see how the books of the Old and New Testament are laid out. The first four books of the New Testament, which are sometimes referred to as the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, describe how Jesus, God's Son, came into the world born through Mary. They each record his life, crucifixion, resurrection and ascension back into heaven. Following the four Gospels, we come to the book of Acts. This is often referred to as the Acts of the Apostles, but truly it can also be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because through the Apostles, inspired by the Holy Spirit, many of whom have been Jesus' disciples, were the means for starting the church as we know it today. The last book of the New Testament is the book of Revelation, written by John the Apostle. The book of Revelation is a vision that John received from Jesus. It was God showing him what was about to happen to the world leading up to and after Jesus' still awaited second return to the earth. It is highly recommended you first read the New Testament, starting to read the Gospel of John. Each of the writers of the first four Gospels wrote about Jesus, but they each saw the likes of Jesus through their own perspective. John opens his book by explaining very clearly that Jesus was indeed God's Son. It shows the purpose of Jesus coming into the world and that Jesus wants to build a relationship with us. After the book of Acts, all the following books are letters written to various churches and individuals, giving us clear guidance as to how we should live as Christians. It may be you have now read all the Gospels and now ready to read more. You can simply follow on reading the book of Acts right through to Revelation, although, until you to get to grips a little more with the layout of the Bible, Revelations may be a book to tackle at a later date with some help. Let's take a moment to talk about the Old Testament. The layout of the Old Testament is a little more complex, but falls into five major groups. Take a look at the listing in the front of your Bible. The first five books of the Old Testament are called the Torah or Pentateuch. These are the books recorded by Moses that the early Jewish people of the day read. Following the first books of the Old Testament, we come to the books of Joshua through to Esther. These we call the historical books. We see the new established Jewish nation rescued from the clutches of Pharaoh in Egypt, settling in Canaan, now known as Israel. Next we have the books Job to the Song of Solomon, the poetic books. There we have the book Isaiah to Daniel, which we call the major prophets, partly because the books are large. These books in the main give prophecies about pending events and warnings to the Jewish people of the time. Then finally we have the minor prophets, Hosea to Malachi, which are books small in size, again prophecies about pending events and warnings to the Jewish people of the time. Let's give a more detailed outline to the Old Testament by going to the first book of the Bible, Genesis again, which describes creation, the universe and man, followed by how Adam and Eve sins, causing them and mankind to be separated from God. We then read of Noah and the great flood. Then the focus is on Abraham, whose name was changed to Abram, following his family line, growing into a nation in Canaan, then through drought, find themselves living in Egypt. In the next book, the book of Exodus, it describes how God led the children of Israel, Abram's descendants, out of Egypt through God sending the 10 plagues, with Moses leading them back into the land of Canaan, but not before spending 40 years wandering in the wilderness close to Sinai. During their 40 years living in the wilderness, we read how God continued to lead and guide the Israelites under Moses to set up a tent of meeting, in order for the Israelites to meet with God. The next three books, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy, list the guidelines God gave to the children of Israel to live by, including the 10 Commandments. We now come to the book of Joshua, which describes how Israel re-entered Canaan, conquering the opposing tribes, settling down in the land as we know it today. In the early days of the nation of Israel, they were guided by godly men of wisdom called judges, as named and described in the next book. The following book of Ruth is a romance. It describes how Israel was in a drought, with one family moving abroad to escape hunger. On returning, Ruth, the now daughter-in-law of the family that had emigrated, returned to Israel, meeting up with a noble of Israel, which we learn later on was the lineage to which Jesus was born. The next six books, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, sees the transition from judges as leaders to kings taking rule. We read in these books how Israel kept falling away from following God, to the extent that God rejected Israel. The consequences resulted in God no longer protecting them as a nation, allowing the Babylonian Empire to attack Israel and take the vast majority of the people into their own country. For 70 years, God allowed Israel to endure the pagan lifestyle of the Babylonian people, to bring judgment on them and rekindle the desire to follow him again and have the yearning to return back to their own country. This time of returning back to Israel, rebuilding Jerusalem and re-establishing God's law is described in the next two books, Ezra and Nehemiah. The following book of Esther describes how Israel was again in danger of becoming destroyed, but Esther, one of the children of the Israelites, became queen to the king of the alien nation and was able to highlight injustice and halt the destruction of Israel. The next five books take on a different tone. The first of the five books, Job, is often mentioned in the common use phrase, the patience of Job. This is the essence of the book. God wanted to show Satan that one of his faithful followers, in whatever circumstance he had to face, however much was taken from him and however much he suffered, he would not turn away from his God. In the closing chapter, we see how much God rewarded Job for keeping faithful to him. The following poetic book, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, called also the Book of Wisdom, and the Song of Solomon, speak for themselves in their titles. We now come to the major prophetic books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and the writings of the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. The prophetic words given by these writers gave both warnings and encouragements on two fronts. In the main, the prophetic word was a warning to Israel about their wayward ways in rejecting God, as described in the book of Kings and Chronicles, warning of imminent judgment, encouraging the Israelites to turn back to their God. But in addition to prophetic words regarding the Israelites of the Old Testament, they prophesy of Jesus coming into the world as written in the New Testament, but also clearly described how God returned to earth again, outlining future plans for mankind, judgment of the disobedient, and setting up a new heaven and new earth. Now that we understand the general outline of the Bible, it would be good to discover the ways to study the Bible. We have discussed how the Old and New Testament books are made up, and suggested how we could get an overview of the Bible using the more readable version of the Bible to get a feel of the story, but never forgetting it is so beneficial to read the whole of the Bible cover to cover on a regular basis. So if you can set aside time to just read a couple of chapters each day, it would familiarize you with the general outline to the content of the Bible. The daily Bible reading notes are available. They do have a suggested reading program which is geared for you to have read the whole of the Bible in a year. You can now start to look at the Bible using a more concise version like the NIV to look at the detail. It can be described when reading the whole of the Bible at first using a telescope. We can look from a distance to get the overall picture. And then when we look at the Bible closely and in more detail, we then look at the Bible microscopically. The question is, how do I get started? When it comes to looking at the Bible microscopically, you find as you grow in your Christian faith, the Holy Spirit will give you the desire to look more closely at certain fundamental aspects or topics in the Bible. For instance, you may want to get a deeper understanding of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, faith, baptism, or the church. Another great way to study the Bible is to study characters. You'll find a full spectrum of folk in the Bible with varying personalities, yet when living under the guidance of God, can be a great example to us as how to live. Jesus is the obvious prime example, perfect example, but in the Old Testament we have men like Noah, Joseph, Moses, Daniel for a start, ladies like Miriam, Moses' mother Ruth, and Esther. In the New Testament, we have the disciples. Reading the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will display something of their virtues by how and what they wrote. Then we have the Apostle Paul, that great pioneer who played such a big part in the formation of the church as we know today. There are a number of ladies in the New Testament, like Jesus' mother Mary, as well as Mary Magdalene, and the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. To help you to look up these subjects and names, you need a dictionary or a concordance, which sometimes appear in a condensed form at the rear of the Bible. A conclusive concordance lists every word mentioned in the Bible, noting chapter and verse to every place where the word is mentioned. A concordance for the NIV Bible can be obtained through Christian bookshops or through the internet, but if you have access to the internet, there is an excellent online Bible concordance. If you go to www.biblegateway.com, you have the option of searching the Bible by books. So you go to www.biblegateway.com/passage, or if you want a certain word or topic, you can go to www.biblegateway.com/keyword. In rounding up the outline to the Bible, here are some words of guidance and encouragement taken from the New Testament. First, we need to know the Bible scriptures to defend our faith, as we read in Ephesians 6, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we read, For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Again, the Apostle Paul encouraged a young Christian named Timothy. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It is the Holy Spirit who speaks into our hearts, so as we speak, the Holy Spirit by His power is able to affect the emphasis of what the Bible, the Word of God, is saying to our listeners. Finally, let us heed the warning verses that are in the very last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plague described in the scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. Jesus said in John 14, Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would not have told you. And I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. But Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples, said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We live in an unjust world where truth is not the norm, where sadness and destruction abound. We need something or someone to turn to that we know can give us security, stability, guidance and assurance that we are not alone with an eternal future in heaven. That is why Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. We can all have that assurance. Jesus in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 27 to 9, said, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chose to reveal him. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Also in John 10, verse 7 to 10, we read, "Therefore Jesus again said, Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life, and to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The Bible is a love story. Once we give our life to Jesus and know we have God living within us through the Holy Spirit, we can join in with what the Apostle says in Romans 8, 38 and 39, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." David the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word," that is God's word, the Bible, "is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." May this short overview of the Bible inspire you to dig deep into God's word, but more important, help you to gain both insight into God and his Son Jesus, to start on a journey in building a loving, eternal bond with God the Father, his Son Jesus, a close friendship that will last for eternity. Amen. Now, for a further breakdown of the books of the Bible, you can go to www.bridge/of-life.co.uk/biblebooks.html.